Not too long ago, I was reading, or we were listening up here, where he said, "Oh, sister, get it now, or it's going to pass you by." And then he, about 2 minutes later, he says, "Well, it's already gone from you. You didn't get it." But what happened was she didn't have focused faith, and he couldn't supersede her unbelief.
Right.
You know what? Even God can't supersede your unbelief.
Right?
He can't.
Do what? That
takes your choice
away.
That is correct. That takes your choice away. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why? Because if you see it, you don't have to have faith. That's why with these seals opening up, like Bob said, when these seals, if they truly open up in the degree they're supposed to open up, we don't have to go back to the first seal and live it all over again.
Right.
I have faith that it's open. I have faith that we understand what's going on. Same way with Daniel 70 week. I was thinking about this yesterday. I guess I'll say it online so everybody can hear it.
Come on.
All this junk that's going on around the message. I want to tell you something. Paul said it, and Brother Branham would amen it if he was here. He said, if an angel from heaven, or an angel from heaven were to come and bring you something different than what I've already preached, what'd he say? Let it be a curse.
Right.
Let it be a curse. And he said it again.
Right.
He said, in other words, if you didn't hear me the first time, let me state it again. So what I'm telling you is, even if Brother Bradham came back right now and went to Jeffersonville and said all that going on up there was okay, let it be a curse.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what the Bible said. Let it be a curse. Because it's not scriptural.
Right.
It's not scriptural. We must go back to scripture.
Amen.
I mean, how can we understand? Me and Gene were talking about the other day. I'd like to ask somebody this one question. I'd like to sit down with somebody that thinks that we just need to press play and tell them to explain to me Daniel 70 weeks by these two quotes that I have where Brother Brown said that there's 1 week left after the rapture, and that there's only 3.5 years left. Explain that without pressing play.
Yeah. Come on.
Because if you press play, you're going to get both quotes.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get an opinion, maybe. No. If you just press play, you got this quote and this quote. How about let's stand and address the third person of the Trinity? How about all these different things that the Holy Ghost is a white horse rider?
Yeah.
He preached that.
Right.
It's on tape. Right?
Yeah.
How are you going to understand? The Ethiopian eunuch is that's the greatest scripture to take to anybody.
Yes.
He was reading the Bible. He pressed play.
Yeah. Right.
And he said, how can I understand unless some man teach me?
Right.
So God sent Philip, a man with the Holy Ghost, to explain, because he was reading the Bible and thought, well, is this Jesus or is this David? Or is this not Jesus, but is David speaking of himself or somebody else? Why? He was taking two quotes.
Right.
You can't do that. You've got to have a fivefold ministry to break this thing down to the people, because it just makes confusion. But, and I'm telling you, Daniel 70 weeks is the most confusing doctrine in this message.
Right.
That's where most people, when they get off the message rail car or the message train, the first thing they say is, Brother Brown didn't know what he's talking about because he said this over here and he said this over here. I mean, come on, people. When a group of people goes to up north and says, we believe in polygamy because Brother Brown preached it, we saw the video,
yeah.
Brother Trevor. We saw the video. They confronted him with it.
Right.
You know what they were reading? They weren't reading Greer's Almanac.
Right, right.
They weren't quoting Charles Stanley.
Right.
They were quoting Brother Brown. What about this? Brother Brown said one quote that polygamy should be legal.
Yeah.
But they don't read the rest of the quote.
Right.
Where he said, but it's not. But they took that to them because it was a press play quote and there wasn't a preacher there that could help them with it. That's so sad. Somebody have a hand.
That was
quote that where that big stone, he said, he come, but the Bible meant
for him. Right. Break it down to the people.
Stone.
That's right. And you know what? It's like I said about about anything else. We must realize this is supposed to happen.
Right.
This is supposed to happen.
Absolutely.
But where's your faith? My faith is that Brother Brown brought the message, but that's gone because I believe that. I don't have to have faith that Brother Brown was a prophet. I know he was.
Right.
There's no one, me and Jim were talking about this the other day, there's no one besides Jesus Christ ever walked on this earth that was as close to God as Brother Brown.
Right.
No one. Mm-hmm. All the great men. It doesn't matter who you want. Enoch, all the great men. Brother Branham was right there. That's why they called him Jesus Christ.
Right.
But I promise you, somebody with a new birth will not call him God.
Right.
Because God said, I will not share my glory with no one.
Right.
No one. So if you elevate him to Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. Because you do. You make him an antichrist. Because you put some, inserted something. That's why I said, many weeks ago, we can't insert Brother Branham between us and God.
Right.
There's only one mediator.
Right.
The man Christ Jesus.
Right.
And that's it. And we didn't become a son of God, a son of William Branham, and then become a son. No.
Right.
Eleazar did not go into the tent with Rebecca and Isaac.
Amen.
But he introduced Rebecca to Isaac, and then he went off the scene. You don't hear of him anymore, hardly, because he did his job. He introduced the bride to Christ.
Yes.
And to me, that's the most simple. See, it's so simple, people try to figure all this stuff out. But see, I don't have to have faith that Brother Brown's a prophet. I already know that. So any quote you hear me say, it seems like somebody said that I said the seventh seal wasn't open. I never said that. I said, if you don't believe it's open, it's not.
Right.
Yeah.
If you don't believe it, then it's not. You've closed it.
Right. Right.
But if you believe the seventh seal open, but you got to believe it's open in that threefold manner. All God wanted poured into Christ, Christ into church.
Mm-hmm.
Take her back to the Garden of Eden. Body change. Taking us back into another dimension. And that's what we're facing now. If you have Christ in your soul, you don't have to go look for Christ. That's what I said about that scripture in Matthew 24. The reason I know I don't have to go somewhere else, it's because Christ is here.
Amen. Right.
I don't have to go find Him. If you have to go find Him, you don't have Him.
Right.
If you have to go looking for Christ, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right.
It's just, to me, it just, once it's broken down, it's the most simple thing. But man's made it so complicated. I do agree there is a false fivefold ministry.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. Right.
No doubt. The devil has his own fivefold ministry. And they're at work.
That's right.
Okay? But he does have a true fivefold ministry because it says here, I have faith that it's going to perfect the saints, which that's a journey we have to go through.
Can you pull a verse up real quick?
A what?
A verse.
Of?
In Isaiah. The reason is, my favorite verse is
just read
in,
it.
Trust in, this is from Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and very fairly thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart.
Right.
That refers you, that particular verse refers you back to Isaiah 58:13-14. And that is talking about what you're talking about right now. He said, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure, on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord.
13.
Yeah. That's perfect of what you're talking about.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's good.
If you do that, He'll give you the desires of your heart.
Right. Well, even back during the law, we'll go here in just a second, but even under the law, Remember that guy was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day? I mean, that's under the law. He was killed. Why? He wasn't doing what God told him to do. He wasn't in the tabernacle doing what God told him to do. No, he was out doing whatever and whatever. So, I mean, it's just coming down, folks, I'm telling you. There's going to come a time. I don't want to ever say these words. I wish I would have.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever come to a time that I have to sit down by myself and say, I wish I would have. Right?
Amen.
Think about that. Everywhere you go, think about it. I wish I would have done. I wish I would. Well, that's in the past. I wish I would have. We need to have faith. Now faith. Brother Joe Green preached on that not too long ago, if y'all remember, a couple years ago. Yeah. Now faith. We got to have now faith. We don't need to have, we can't have Paul's faith. Paul's already gone. He's done his job. We have faith in what Paul said. Because we know it was the Word of God. Same way with Brother Brown. We know it was the Word of God, but he's gone on. It is left up to the fivefold ministry to bring this thing to a head.
Amen.
Like it or not, that's God's program.
That's it.
And I'm not going to mess with it. Praise Brother Jewel.
Luis and Christine are traveling.
Luis and Christine are traveling.
Yeah.
Bob and him will be traveling. Where are you going next weekend?
Bob is here.
My parents
next
weekend and
then
next weekend for Joe
Robbins. That's how I plan.
You preaching with Joe Robbins. Yeah, we got your high chair ready there, Sister Mel. Come for it. Oh, never mind.
That's all right.
That's good. Yeah, take care
I
of
it. Right? Baby.
That's right. And remember us, we're going to be gone next Sunday to Arizona. So we're leaving Friday and won't be back till the next Monday. So who's doing next Sunday? Luis or Anna?
Be Luis.
Luis, I think.
No, he can't. He won't be here.
Who won't?
Luis won't be here.
Again?
3 weekends.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. They got Brother Royal coming in, so they got to haul him around. That's okay. Sister Rachel.
Yeah.
Good to have Sister Rachel with us today.
Yeah. She can't speak. I can speak.
She can't talk.
Well,
can you eat?
Yeah, I can eat.
Okay.
I'm just normal Rachel.
No, you're not. No, no, you're not. Normal Rachel. Man, we were hoping for an abnormal Rachel, and that would be normal.
Stop.
What did they do to you?
Right. Yeah. Can I ask for a prayer request? We were over to see Al's mom yesterday at the nursing home rehab center. It all boiled down to where things come about, and Dean said, "Well, y'all need to make an appointment to be able to come see Mom." And I said, "You're telling me that her son has got to have an appointment to come see his mother?" He says, "Well, you don't want anybody else here." And I thought, "So, please just pray for that situation.
Okay.
I mean, it's not good."
Okay. Always get down to the end of life and there's always something fuzzy comes
always,
up.
Always. It's
something
terrible.
Fuzzy. Just call it fuzzy. It's just it all was okay and then it all becomes kind of fuzzy.
Yeah.
You know, been clear and now becomes a little bit fuzzy.
Yeah.
We know how that is. So, going through it now. So. All right, let's go. We kind of went down the past this, but let's back up and read this and then we'll start with Hebrews 11. And let us consider one another to provoke into love and to good works. And that's Paul speaking to us here. Now, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The reason that we read this and we keep quoting it is because you see that I'm just going to make it plain as I can make it.
Okay. I like plain.
I want to make it just as plain as I can make it. If you're not going to church now more than you were, if you have no more desire now than you did 2 years ago, you're lost.
Yeah.
You just don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You do not.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm just reading the Bible. If you have no more desire, I don't, you know, you say, well, I got this. No. That didn't ask for a laundry list.
Yeah. Right.
It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Because you know what? You get weak.
Right.
Yes, yes.
You get weak. You will, if you're looking at me and saying you don't get weak, you're lying.
Right.
Because you're lying to this.
Right.
You get weaker because we are sheep. Sheep are herd animals.
Right.
That's right.
And they have to be herded by a shepherd.
Right.
And your shepherd is not one that stays at the house.
Right.
The shepherd is always with his sheep.
Amen.
But now, what if the sheep don't show up?
Yeah.
The wolves eat them.
That's right.
Because being a herd animal, you stay in a herd. It's self-protection, exactly what it is.
Exactly.
So that's what we're doing. We're self-protecting each other. Because it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is.
Yeah.
You can sit here and preach it and preach it and preach it, and next Sunday some of y'all sitting in this room won't be here. I'm not talking about you going somewhere to do the job. Huh? Well, we're not going to be here, but we got a job to do. It's not that we're going to sit home and say, well, I think I'll just watch it today because my big toe hurts or my cat's sick. Or...
Yeah.
And so much more as you see the day approaching. That's the blindness. Me and Brother Russ Dunker were talking yesterday about it. Well, no, Friday. He so desires to be in a church, but there's none within miles of him that preach the truth. Miles. I'm talking about hundreds of miles. I'm talking like 3 hours away that really preach the truth and the message. So he has to watch. But he doesn't watch. It's like he said. He said, I don't watch in my slippers and I got coffee. He said, I really try to make it an atmosphere of a church service. But now we have no excuse. You can have one. But this one doesn't. Because look, for if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth. So see, you're aware, you've been aware, we've all been aware.
Amen.
We've all been aware of this scripture right here. It was written in the year AD 60-something, 50-something.
Yeah.
Okay? 2,000 years ago, this scripture was written. And we've been reading it all of our life.
Sister Will. Yeah, I was just going to say, when you were saying that, it reminded me of Brother Dale, all through my journey, all the years I've been. He always told me, stay in church. Whatever you do, stay in church. And I believe that's really what helped me, you know, all through all the things that I went through.
Sure, sure.
Just being able to go somewhere when I could.
Exactly.
So that was one thing I really appreciate about it.
Well, see, that's why he's instilled it in all of us. There was no, even when we were in the Baptist church, being 8, 9 years old, I can remember, you didn't schedule nothing on Sunday. If you did, if somebody else scheduled something, they went and you didn't. Like I said about Jim's dad, he used to show up on Saturday night sometimes. Well, of course, we didn't go to church at the time, which was fine. But now he don't show up on Saturday night. If he does, he knows he's going to sit there Sunday by himself, or he can go with us.
Yeah.
There's no question. He said, I know y'all go to church. And on Wednesday nights, he'll come to church with us sometime here. So, yeah, but it's what you show. But listen, some of you do it. You're sitting here. Some of you do it. Your kids come in from out of town, you lay out of church. Now, I say lay out. That means lay out because you laid out. Because
yeah.
Right here is your scripture.
Yeah, that's right.
Because what you're doing is you're telling the kids they're more important than this church.
Yeah.
They're more important than you going to church. That never will happen in my life. Never will happen in my life that my kids or my family will take over what this church takes over. Now listen, you say, well, what if somebody dies? Come on, people.
Yeah.
I'm talking about just a regular visit.
Right.
From your kids, your babies. Well, you're lost.
Amen.
You don't have enough Holy Ghost to get you to church.
That's right.
Because the Holy Ghost will come to church. Now, Brother Brown said, you can't wait till the doors... See, we forget those scriptures and we go, well, we can do this. No. We forget those scriptures. But right here's one. A prophet didn't have to come to tell people to go to church.
That's right.
And even like I said before, we may go to the extreme. But even us going to Illinois, I found us a church in between that we can go to church. We're not going to not go to church. We're going to go to church somewhere, even in our vacations. We found message churches and found places that we can go to church. Even more on vacation. Now, to me, that may be a little bit extreme. If you have a vacation schedule and you're out in Colorado on Sunday, then you don't have an excuse. I just said Colorado, and that's because Sister Barbara came to mind. You don't have an excuse. There's a church out there. Even though it believes whatever it believes, it doesn't matter. It's still a church.
Oh, yeah.
But you still, you see what I'm saying? Because we are sheep.
Right.
I would weaken myself if I didn't think I needed to go to church. If you don't think you need to go to church, then you are lost.
That's right.
You are just deceived. And I don't want that. I want the deception. Because look, if we sin willfully, this is the whole statement. If we sin willfully, after I stood up here and told you this morning, you know what that says? After you perceive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain filter looking for a judgment, for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries.
Sheep have to be fed.
Sheep have to be fed. They do. They have to be fed by the shepherd. And we have to assemble ourselves together. But look, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. In other words, the law was weak. And even though the law was weak, Moses' law said, assemble yourself together.
That's right.
Israel knew when the church doors were open, they needed to go.
Yes.
All right? That's what I'm telling you. You just don't have the Holy Ghost if you don't want to go to church.
Amen.
You just don't have it. I'm sorry. You may be a justified, sanctified, foolish virgin, but if you don't really in your heart feel you got to go to church, you ain't got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You may fool yourself all these years, but you're not going to fool God because of that scripture right there. Because listen, that revelation was to me not long ago. As you see the day approaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The problem is, that's a revelation to me because I see the day approaching. Right. People that don't go to church, they don't see the day approaching. They just, oh, it's just Brother Wade, Brother Dale up there talking, you know, they hammer on us coming to church and you know what? You're lost.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're lost.
Do something about it.
Hmm? Yeah, do something about it. Yeah. Do like Brother Dale preaching on salvation. Let's just all get saved and we'll be fine.
Amen.
Because unsaved people don't go to church.
Yeah.
Saved people go to church.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know what? You can, like I said, you can put your laundry list of why you can't get here. It just ain't going to work with God. Because you know what? I'm fearful. And it's like I told you Sunday. You're my family more than my family outside. Now, I have a better opportunity than some of you because my family, most of them are here. But I'm talking about my outside family. They're not worth me staying out of church to see them because they're not spirit-filled people. They're not somebody I want to commune with. What gets me is like what Mom said, you know, you retired people, they're off all week. They ain't got a thing to do except sit at home. And then on Sunday, they're going to go visit somebody. Come on, people. Good grief. Do it during the week. That's why your priorities are not right.
That's right.
Come on. I mean, if I was retired Monday through Friday, we wouldn't go see Jim's dad. We'd go Monday. We'd go Tuesday. Yeah, we would not go on Wednesday. We would not go on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I can't believe people do that, but they do.
My reason for wanting to go to church is I want to hear.
Exactly.
I don't want to just be at church.
You know why you want to hear? Because the Holy Ghost wants to hear.
Right.
When you don't come here and want to hear, you don't have the Holy Ghost because there's nothing to respond to.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, it's narrowing down.
Amen.
It's narrowing down. And the narrowing down is whether, remember, you come to that place, Brother Brown says God will tell you one more time, and then He won't tell you no more.
Right.
And that razor edge, you're going to fall off one side and just keep going on this direction. Or are you going to stay on that razor's edge?
And be fooled.
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
I would think being preached to with your clothes and hair and dress, that kind of stuff, I can see where somebody like that might, you know, have an excuse not to go. But here we don't.
No.
Here we don't.
No, we don't. We're being fed buckets full here, so I just thank God for that. Bob needs to be careful with his words. Wednesday night, you hear what you said? You said, I made it the seventh seal. I've been made it so plain. What did you say? An idiot?
Oh, yeah. Well,
an idiot can understand it? Brain dead. One more time. Bob. You need a shoe? Mine's about the same size as yours.
Right.
You got the point across. It's all right, Bob. But it is plain. Ryan sent me a big email. I'm going to give him a big old attaboy. He sent me a long email about how the seventh seal, he did not think he could attain to it because it's been so great and so big and so huge and so external. Mm-hmm. Where now all I'm teaching is it's already inside of you, and that's what the whole thing is.
Right.
It's you.
Right.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why the cycle. Exactly. It's a cycle. We went out and we've got all these great revelations, but what it's going to do is going to come right back to where Brother Brown, when he stood on that seventh seal, it was Christ. He couldn't preach anything else. He just told about his journey and about his way of that the Lord led him to different things. And he talked about his salvation. Well, see, that to me, that's the seventh seal.
Exactly.
So, see, what I'm saying is, those who have the seventh seal open to them, I don't have to sit here and pound on hair and dress and come into church. Something's not open. If it's open to a group of people and it's not open to another group of people,
yeah,
them people ain't got what this group's got.
Right.
Okay? So, I mean, that's what I mean. I'm sorry to be this plain, but I've been thinking about it all week. About all the things that even go on here, and it happens at every church. But it's like Brother Claude said, he's got a lot of wisdom. Brother Claude said, anybody can come to church Sunday morning. He said, but the real believers come back Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And the real believers come on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
It kind of weeds all the others out.
Exactly.
And that's what it does. I mean, you can, like I said, you can use whatever excuse you want to, but that's exactly true, because anybody can come to church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
That's really easy. Well, for some. But Sunday afternoon, it gets a little bit harder to come to church, especially here. But that's your faithful. And then Wednesday night is your real faithful, because there's only a smaller group. And if you don't come on Wednesday night, that's your... I'm talking to you. Sorry. I'm just telling you what the Bible says and what God's put in my heart to say. So if you think it's the devil, then I'd be careful. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law and died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Let me tell you something else. The Lord kind of put on my heart to say it. I'm going to say it now. There is going to be a time when we can't get together. But it's not now. Your cars cost as much as your first house. If you buy a new car, your car is going to cost as much as your first house. When me and June got married, our house was $30,000. You buy a new car now, it's $30,000 for a basic four wheels and an air conditioner. So well, we can't go back that far. We're past the Model A system. Anyway,
sorry.
No, it's okay. But what happens is, and what I'm saying is you say, well, boy, when that squeeze comes, well, it ain't here yet.
Right.
I'm going to pack it in just as much as I can pack it in every Wednesday, every Sunday, every time we have a church service, I'm going to pack it in, because one day we might not be able to come together as a group. We might have to meet out in the woods, but it ain't happening now.
Right.
I think some people are a little premature. They started now. But there will come a time. So you say, well, what about that scripture? Well, that scripture don't go away. But you know what? Even if it's you and your wife,
right,
and you can't get to church, two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. That's not you and your wife sitting at home while we have a church here.
Right.
That's not Bible, and that's not Brother Brown's message. Okay? So you say, well, I have, you know, you can use any excuse you want to. It's like I said, you got all this time to do this other stuff, and you don't have time to come to church a couple of hours.
I don't have money.
But yeah, but you can go take vacations and trips and all that, but you don't have money to come to church. Please, people, good grief. Have faith. You know what it is? You don't have enough faith that you get to church, and God will take care of you.
Amen.
I know it. You know, y'all going to go upstairs and you're going to feel a little, look a little raw, but maybe Jewel will bring something in to just put some jewel weeds out. I'm going to be real surprised if he don't mention something about this in the service, because it's been so pressing on me this week. Of which, we got to get out of this chapter. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be that worthy, thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot of the Son. You know what it's saying? He that despised Moses, the law, this was the law, do's and don'ts, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. In other words, what's he saying? How much more this man will come and died for you on a cross. And it's like June always says about witnessing to people. They say, well, what? This long hair thing. June said, look, if God can come down in human flesh, hang on a cross, drive nails to his hand, pierce his side, naked on a cross, die for me, me wearing long hair is nothing.
It's my, that's right.
It's my trying to give back.
Right.
Trying to give back in a feeble way, but trying to give back something to this man that came and died for us.
Amen.
And have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. That's what I said. Paul is really, he's hitting exactly what I'm hitting. If you don't assemble yourself together, you have, in other words, you have drugged Moses' law, throwed it out, but you've also, why do you think Brother Branham, I was thinking about this the other day, why do you think Brother Branham had to preach indictment? What did he indict? He indicted this generation for putting Christ back on the cross.
Right.
For the second crucifixion of Christ. But you know why he had to be? He had to be so that Matthew 17 can come to pass, that the Son of Man be risen again. Where is he risen again? In us.
Amen.
That's why we don't do what they do out there. That's why we don't... anyway. Shouldn't have anyway. So how much more sore punishment? How much more sore punishment should we be punished if we count this new covenant wherein he died for an unholy thing? Okay?
Yes.
That's just burning my britches right here too. Yours too. Well, not your sister's. But you count it an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. That's God. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Like I said before, I've been reading through Kings and I'm into Job now. Man, read the book of Job. Job's a struggle.
Right.
Job's a struggle. Even those three guys that come to him, they just weren't his friends.
Yeah.
They were going, if you hadn't have done this, Job's like, I didn't do any of that. But then you see that last one come.
That's right.
You see the last one, which types Christ. You see that last one come and he brings everything and lines it right back up. Right? And even Job had to go just one day. He just said, hey, I'm just a fool. I should have never been born. You know? But then he comes back and says, but God, in other words, who is rich in mercy, has brought me to this place and brought me and set me in. What did God do for Job at the very end? You see what happens if you do just a little bit of due diligence to what God said? God gave Job back all of his family.
Yeah.
Doubled everything he had, even his family, because he's got seven in heaven and he got seven more kids.
Right.
If he had 10,000 cattle, God gave him 20,000 cattle. I mean, he was twice as better off. But remember, he had to sit on that ash heap for a little while. And took pottery and scraped the boils off of his body. Now that's me and you going through our trials and tribulations. So the book of Job is really good if you'll just analyze it and just remember that the three guys that was talking to him are kind of devilish. They're, you know, they're saying, Job, you did something wrong. You
right.
know, you secretly you've Job's like, no. And then Job finally, he puts a stake down. I know my Redeemer liveth. He saw a revelation. Something happened where he knew there was a man that was going to come in human flesh. And that was going to take everything and redeem him back. Now if he can see that, now Job is the oldest book of the Bible. So Abraham wasn't even here yet. Moses wasn't here yet. it was written right after the flood. So there wasn't many people on the earth, but Job was a real good guy, you know, and he did sacrifices and he tried to do his best. He had to come from the lineage of one of the Ham, Shem, or Japheth. We know it probably wasn't Ham, because that was the evil part, Shem and Japheth. So he come from good stock. But remember one thing's for sure. God took Satan's attention and put it on Job. Satan didn't just go looking for Job.
Right.
Same way with me and you. If we're going through a trial or a tribulation, God may have said, Satan, you considered my servant. He said, servant, Job, have you considered my servant? But remember, Job all the way through that at the very end, he never denied his faith.
Right?
Though the skin worms destroy this body, in my flesh I shall see God. He was pointing several thousand years to the resurrection.
Amen.
And so that's what we got to look forward to. But it's just, the book of Job is just, I hadn't read it in a long time, so. But remember, back in Kings and Samuel and all that, if the people would do good, God would bless them. The people would do bad, God wouldn't bless them.
Right.
Okay? But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and affliction, talking about Job and us, partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds. He's talking about his problems now. He's talking about Paul being in prison and stuff. And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Same way here. I mean, we do the best we can with what we got. But my heavens, would you want to own this place right now at the moment that we're talking about? Would you want to own the earth? No, you would not. And we can't clean it off by our individual self.
Right.
So we have to depend on God through us. And then He's going to get us out of here, and then He's going to wipe the whole thing off and then bring us right back in together. What a great God. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Cast not away your confidence. Bob was talking about confidence and determination and all. That's what, if you've got confidence in the Word,
yes,
then to me that just I was thinking about Wednesday night. It just takes your faith and it just explodes it. Because
Amen.
I have confidence, not just that I've got to come to church every Sunday. You understand? If you say you got, you know, if y'all drag in here on Wednesday night, if you ain't been here in 20 years, you drag yourself in, sit down and go, well, I sure wish you hadn't said that Sunday because I sure don't want to be here. Don't come.
Right.
That means you're lost.
Right.
Yeah.
That means you don't have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
But if you'll come in and go, God, this is going to help me.
Right.
Yes. Every time, which has a great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God. See, everybody's wanting God to come on the scene and give us promises and give us this and give us that and give us the other. After you have done the will of God,
Amen.
Ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He's quoting the Old Testament. All right? But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, or sin, or hell, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. All right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see what I mean about the letter that Paul wrote?
Yes.
It's just a continuous writing because you go back to 11, of 10, go all the way down to the bottom. But we are not of them which draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Because remember, you're not hoping to be at church today.
Right.
You don't have faith that you're coming to Sunday school. You had faith in your journey that you were getting to Sunday school. But once you get here, it's no more faith.
Right.
That's why the Bible, we'll continue reading, Because look, once you come to something, you don't have to have faith in that anymore. If I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in my soul, I don't have to have faith that God's going to save me.
Faith is kind of its purpose.
Exactly. So faith is kind of like, faith to me is like repentance. Lord, forgive me for what I'm going to do tomorrow. No, that's not what repentance is.
Right.
Repentance is what you've done.
Right.
So faith is the same way. Faith is looking back to what the journey is, and it brings you up here. Now, faith doesn't go away, but what we're going to read in just a little while, it says from faith to faith. That's why Paul is going to tell us in a little while, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, of laying on of hands and of water baptism and of all that. Why? I don't need to be baptized again.
Right.
I have faith that the baptism that I had took care of that.
Right.
So I don't have to say, well, I wonder. Now, if you wonder, you need to go back.
Yeah.
Right. Get it settled. That's why Brother Brown said, take that stake and drop it down and say, Satan, right here.
Exactly.
This is where I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I went through everything you told me to go through, God. Now, I'm going to have faith. But I see, don't go back next week and do the same thing.
Right.
You've lost something or you never gained something is what it was. What I'm saying about the same thing with faith for being healed. Faith for being healed comes inside of you. It's what Brother Brown tells people over and over and over again. He tells them, it's your faith that operates the gift.
Right.
Not him, it's your faith that operates the gift. Brother Brown couldn't heal nobody.
Right.
They had to have faith. Even Brother Brown